Hello, I am Andy Zaltzman, and this is the official News Quiz Review of the Year for 2025. A mind-warping, retina-burning, history-shredding, predictably chaotic 12 months of not particularly merry mayhem. Fair to say that 2025 did not score too highly out of 10 in the calm, global happiness and mutually respectful dialogue categories, but it racked up some serious numbers in political disenchantment, existential panic about AI taking over the planet, and worldwide use of the phrase, "He's done what now?" The News Quiz year began with one of British politics' most frequently overbaked hot potatoes, as the organisation that has to cure our ills was itself ill. Still.
And our first question can go to Paul and Angela. Prime Minister Keir Starmer this week announced a new partnership between what and what?
Is it Angela Barnes and Paul Sinha?
Yeah. This is his plan to basically save the NHS from privatisation by using the private sector.
Yes. Clever, that, isn't it?
It is very clever. He's laid out his plan for the NHS. That's what's happened, to cut waiting times. And it was quite interesting. He said he wants more treatment outside of hospitals, presumably still in a medical setting, though. I don't think we're quite at a stage of getting appendectomy at Claire's Accessories, but I think it's...
Well, as you hope you know by now, I have skin in this game on two fronts. Number one, I used to be a doctor, and it's estimated I saved the lives of over 5,000 patients by giving up a career in medicine. See, my dreams are comedy. But secondly, I've not been a well man. I mean, I've already had Parkinson's disease, but since I was last doing the News Quiz, I've had 2 heart attacks, 2 angiograms, 2 MRIs, ultrasounds, 7 x-rays, a cardiac bypass operation. And let me tell you now, you have not lived. You've been sat in a bed on a ward in St George's Hospital and heard a man ring his wife and her on speakerphone, and you hear her bellow at the top of her voice across the ward, "Odd thing is, he's the chaser I've always hated."
The other way, back across the Atlantic now, and in February, just over 6 months into their government, there were more suggestions that Labour had hit the ground stumbling, slipped on their own packed lunch, which they dropped whilst trying to fight off a non-existent bear, ruptured a cruciate ligament, and fallen into a wheelbarrow, which then plummeted down a bobsled run, because Nigel Farage's Reform UK topped a national opinion poll for the first time.
I mean, Reform, they do it. It's understandable why they do it. I don't know what their policies are, but when you've got, like, the party that we're in 14 years, no one likes them. The other lot come in, and there was some hope, and then that's been dashed. So, but the problem is Reform, they're sort of like UKIP if you feed them after midnight, aren't they? Their manifesto is the last thing we really know anything about, right? And it was kind of like right-wing fantasy football, wasn't it? They just threw every single right-wing idea. They put Messi, Ronaldo, probably should be doing cricket references. They put Cowdery and Gower in the same team. Their agenda, no one knows what it is, right? It's a sentiment at this point, but they do have Farage, right? And for all people might not like about him, he could talk. Problem is, he doesn't have anything to sell. He's sort of like a doctor who is all diagnosis and no prescription. He'll tell you, "Hey, well, you've got a cyst on your arm, your leg's hanging off, and your head is broken." He go, "What do I do about it?" "Well, it's a farce." He go, "Oh, yeah, I get it, yeah." It's a farce, it's a disgrace, it's calamitous. What he really is he's a thesaurus.
Problems with maths teaching over the centuries have led to us having an economy where the sums simply don't add up, and the government was being told to find more ways of spending more of the no money that's available on defence, when we haven't even used our nukes yet. How does that work out?
Following the Trumpian onslaught, Keir Starmer has been encouraged to do what faster and further?
Is he doing a nude calendar?
It's defence spending,
yes,
though, isn't it?
We do need to sort of dramatically increase our defence spending, but I don't know if we're going to increase it enough to make up for not being the size of America. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to help as much.
Right.
Also, we need to have, you know, more people in the army. We've only got about 6 people in the army. You know, and we increase it to 12, we're still in quite a lot of trouble.
I'm at that point where I'd probably sign up. Yeah? Yeah. I think if we do end up going to war, I think it's foolish and foolhardy to send our young and hopeful and ambitious. I think we should send people like me who are really menopausal. And I'll be honest, up for a fight. I mean, I know my limits. I will need a leg over the wall, but once I'm there, I'll be like a Jack Russell. I won't let it go.
Yes, indeed. Throughout the year, we've seen the rather unsettling spectacle of the world's news pundits earnestly discussing how other political leaders should deal with the President of America as if he is some kind of cross between a potentially lethal zoo animal, an alien who could destroy the world, and an overindulged toddler. And the DNA tests that we've had done that have just come back on him suggest that he is all three of those things. In February, it was Keir Starmer's turn to face up to the challenge.
Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister this week, chose, for whatever reason, not to come to Yorkshire to speak to one of the many great people from this county. But where, out of all the other places in the world, did he go instead? And who is he meeting right now as we record?
I believe he's gone to meet Donald Trump in the USA. And everybody's been on tenterhooks, will they get on? And I think they should, because they've both spent a lot of time in courtrooms. And obviously, Keir Starmer, being a barrister, would have had to wear a ridiculous wig. I think, in fairness to Keir Starmer, it is a difficult position he's in because he's got to explain what's going on to someone who's got very little knowledge of British politics. But then he does practice every week with Kemi Badenoch.
I suppose it's the killing with kindness route, isn't it, really? I mean, I sort of quite liked Macron. I watched Macron, the way he dealt with him. I don't know if you noticed, he let him sort of speak, and then he did that thing that my wife does quite a lot when we're out. You know, when you're out and you're having a dinner party and you're thinking, I'm doing really well, and the feedback's going to be good in the car on the way home, and then her hand will come out. I'll say... And it'll go down my shoulder, and I'm such a moron, I think it's affectionate. It goes up and then she'll squeeze. He did the squeeze on Donald. He did the squeeze as if to say, come on, pal. We've all had a drink, you know. And then what my wife will do is just lean in and she'll just go, I think that's you done now.
We also found ourselves wondering exactly what national resources are still actually national resources. I think currently on the list is Prince George, but he might be sold off to Saudi Arabia before the next budget. The gaps between the stones at Stonehenge and a bench somewhere outside Worksop, I think.
What is left? Is there anything that's
left? Nothing left. I mean, is any of this a surprise? I mean, who could have foreseen this happening, us selling off our biggest commodities to communist China? And then, I mean, some would say sort of deliberately trying to turn off the furnaces so that we'd have to buy their cheaper Chinese steel because the arse has fallen out of the Chinese property market. I mean, I'm just speculating, but it does seem like that's what was sort of on their minds, doesn't it?
Apparently, if you turn these blast furnaces into ones that can create steel more in a more environmentally friendly way, this is a good thing, but they take 80% less labour, so you still have to make redundancies. Now, on the surface, you can think that's a terrible thing. People won't work, but people can be retrained, they can get other jobs. Humans can't breathe nitrogen.
Yeah, so if any of our listeners do own a blast furnace, please, please... And also, this is the kind of defeatist attitude, saying that we can't breathe nitrogen. Well, that's holding this country back.
We can try. I mean, there's quite a lot of methane, too, that comes out of this furnace.
Having discovered that I'm recently lactose intolerant, I can tell you, actually, you can tolerate quite a high level of methane. It's for years. For years. I mean, the budgie's dead, but never like...
It's so Brighton to be tolerant of everything except for lactose. Isn't it?
April was also local election season, and I do hope you've all calmed down since then. Traditionally, for the sitting government, local elections function as something between a sad haddock in the face and a medieval mace to the groin, and Labour were looking worriedly at both the fishmonger and the mounted knight in shining armour with a purposeful look in his eye.
How excited are you by the local elections?
Yeah, I'm absolutely giddy.
Yep. Yeah, fizzing. Yeah. Fizzing.
Reformers saying they're going to clean up. Hard to tell with reform whether they mean get lots of votes or ethnically.
Well, I think it's difficult given that when you look at what Labour are doing, you know, not scrapping the True Child benefit, taking away disability benefits from people, you might look at it and think, well, what's the difference between these two parties anyway? Which I probably think is the reason why people are going, well, why not give the other guys a chance? It's just a shame who the other guys happen to be.
It's interesting that they look at it and go, there's no difference between these two guys. I want an even meaner part.
Yeah, but you say that. It's like reform's the only choice if you don't want the two big two. Let's not forget, somewhere out there, Ed Davies on a bounty castle. Yeah.
It is like the Lib Dems wished on a cursed monkey paw that we'd go back to three-party politics and they're sort of curled. And Nigel Farage sat bolt upright in bed somewhere.
I love every time I see Ed Davey on the news going down a log flume or just having the time of his life, I just have this image of just a monster raving loony party candidate in their house just throwing their enormous clown shoe at the television.
Whilst the Labour government may have been metaphorically fumbling around in darkness, hoping for power to work, waiting for a shaft of light, Spain and Portugal took it one step further.
For all of this week's starter questions, the answer could be about Trump, but isn't. So the first of our not Trump starter questions, this can go to Ed and Lucy, where in the world this week has found itself fumbling around in an enveloping darkness with the pillars of civilization crumbling, almost taken backwards to a bygone age, leaving people desperately wondering how on earth what's happened has happened. Not about Trump, what is that about?
Well, if it's not Trump, then I think it is Spain.
Correct.
Where they had a power outage and no one could do any work for a whole afternoon, which luckily had no impact on the product. They think it wasn't a cyber attack. My guess is the Spanish energy minister simply pulled out the plug marked Portugal so he could charge his phone. People were stuck in lifts, the trains weren't working, blackouts everywhere. Obviously, in a Spanish blackout, very important to keep a pin between your teeth in case a football official tries to kiss you.
It's difficult to report on something like this without being really boring. It was, you read about it in the paper, and it was like, it was a massive power cut. Yeah, there was a massive power cut, yeah. Some people were stuck in lifts. Yep, that's what happens in a massive power cut, all right? Yep. Some people reported ATMs weren't working. Yep, that tracks. That would be the sort of thing. Some hospitals had to shut some stuff, but other hospitals had power generators. Yes, this very much sounds like a power cut.
With the year muddling onwards through its troublesome middle months, Labour found itself at odds with an old enemy. And I mean literally old.
The problem is, you know, Labour have taken on people whose very names have positive connotations, right? Farmers, people like farmers. Pensioners, people like pensioners. But they're minted pensioners. Because the problem is, I say pensioner, and even now I'm thinking of some little old dear with that trolley they push in front of them. But what's in the trolley, Ethel? Gold, right? Gold and 90% of the cod stocks from the North Sea. Right? You're the reason, Ethel, that we're all in Pollock, as you're off on another Viking River cruise. So this is what Labour... This is what Labour should have done, built up the hatred, you see? But it felt like what happened was they just announced the winter fuel policy and the next thing I saw was Angela Rayner doing shots with David Guetta. It was quite a leap.
Wait, I'm really confused now. I can't tell if you are for or against Labour policies at this point in time.
I think when I come on shows like this, I'm the one defending them. That's how right-wing Labour have got.
It's very weird because the Labour campaigners are getting in real trouble on the doorstep. They say the cuts are only going to affect wealthier pensioners. And I think they've made a real miscalculation there because in this country, you can say what you want about, you know, immigrants or trans people or disabled people. But if you come for pensioners who've got a little bit of money put by, they will tear you apart like a Jack Russell eating a pasty. Those people have served our country. They haven't fought in a war, but don't tell them that.
Joe, like, in this week of all weeks, it does make me think of a generation that absolutely did fight in a war. And my granddad, you know, like, he was a very just normal bloke and he ended up holding a gun, which he never should have done. But, you know, did he moan about it? No. He had the common decency to become a lifelong alcoholic, and I respect that.
Well, we're sitting here really awkwardly because your granddad was Italian and mine was German. Ava, yeah.
And mine was Jewish, so... That just shows how far we've moved on in the last 80 years.
Back across now to our estranged former imperial partners in America. Donald Trump was trying to deal with the slightly awkward Fourth and a Half Amendment of the US Constitution, which states you can break some of the laws all of the time, all of the laws some of the time, but you can't break all of the laws all of the time.
Which of President Donald Trump's actions has been ruled and or deruled illegal by judges this week, apart from all the other things he's already been convicted for?
Yes. It is everything, isn't it?
Harvard. Yeah, how much time do you have?
Deportations.
Tariffs.
Tariffs. Specifically this week, yes.
His favourite word.
Yeah.
He's terrible. The thing about Trump...
That's very neatly summarised there.
He thinks if you just say you've done it, that it's happened.
And life doesn't work like that. So it turns out he doesn't have the power to order tariffs. That's with Congress.
Right.
In the same way that he doesn't really understand how Ukraine and Russia works, but he says, we've done a deal, and they haven't. But right. In his head, he has. And, you know, he thinks he will solve global warming by doing a deal with the sun. I've got the words here. He said, judges must understand the nation is not here for them, they're here for the nation. I shall remove from office those judges who don't understand the demands of the hour. That's Hitler. That's Hitler.
Spring turned to summer, which seemed a very good time to take a summer hiatus, which we did. When we returned in September, the under-pressure Labour Party was coming under increasing pressure as the pressure grew on under-pressure deputy leader Angela Rayner over something or other that should have been done or not done in some other way. Lucy and Coco, you can take the first question. Now, for this question, for the sake of impartialism, I'm going to use source material from all sides of the political swamp. Here we go. Which prominent politician this week made an honest mistake in an act of shameless hypocrisy relating to a complex technical matter of tax law that showed typical out-of-touch politicians' arrogance resulting from a series of difficult personal family issues that should prompt immediate resignation, if not some kind of public walk of shame through every city in the land, having dealt with the problem swiftly and openly, bringing immutable, uncleansable shame upon the government that ought to blow over quite quickly if we're being objective about it, and will rightly, surely bring down the Starmer regime by, I reckon, the end of this show, if not already.
Well, I think this is Angela Rayner, who apparently paid the wrong amount of tax on her flat. She said she consulted three people before buying the flat. Those people were Jimmy Carr, Gary Barlow, and the ghost of Ken Dodd. So, we don't know at the time of recording whether she is going or not, but it's the housing minister and she's messed up buying a house. This comes after the homelessness minister was accused of making people homeless. You think, what next? The Chancellor of the Exchequer owing £5 million in tax to HMRC? Oh, no, that was Nadeem Zahawi. So... Yeah, so she's paid the wrong amount of tax. She says it was a genuine mistake. She has referred herself to the government ethics advisor, who said he couldn't help because the flat isn't in ethics, it's in ethuthics.
I feel like I should explain then, for younger listeners who might not be familiar with stamp duty. In the olden days, when I was a boy, if a man and woman loved each other very much, they could get a mortgage. And they could use that to buy a house. What's a house? Nobody knows, because the secret of building them has been lost. But basically, depending on the cost of the house, you might have to pay a tax called stamp duty to an ogre, I think. I'm not sure. Angela Rayner is probably my generation's John Prescott, the millennial John Prescott, the working class sidekick to a sociopathic prime minister. And I think that's very progressive. I think it's great that Britain has its first female John Prescott. Fantastic. But I don't think she has Prescott's zhuzh. You know, he had proper scandals. He'd be out there driving two Jags, punching someone, you know? Like fun, interesting scandals that you'd want to talk about on a topical, humorous show where you don't have to look at what stamp duty is. I think that's the problem with Labour today. Like, John Prescott, you may not have agreed with his politics, you might not have liked him, you might have liked him, whatever. You can't argue. The man was a top shagger. He was an epic lad. He was a character. In 2001, if you'd seen a headline that said, John Prescott found naked in London Zoo, you'd go, which enclosure?
Next up, England flags. A terse but largely accurate description of the last few decades. Oh, sorry, I hadn't seen the rest of the sentence. England flags were making the news as autumn toddled along, and as the nation continued to struggle with the two conflicting statements, this country wants immigrants to move here, and this country does not want immigrants to move here. As always, it was proving hard to find a compromise point somewhere in the middle.
This can go to Andrew and Alistair. It's going to end in 2029, said Keir Starmer about what this week?
There won't be migrants in hotels.
Yes, correct.
They will be in restaurants.
Right.
They will then fully be on holiday. They'll have got their bags in, they'll have settled in, they'll have charged their devices, and they'll just be on holidays. That's the plan. And then phase two is the water parks. But the point is that there's been migrants in hotels. Some of them are, quite frankly, not very desirable people. And the people who live near the hotel were expecting tourists or business travellers to be in the hotel. This has created disappointment, verging on anger. Some people have taken the streets and there's been some civil disputes. But mostly, people have decided to live like Northern Ireland. And just put flags everywhere. It's the exact opposite of how we thought the Troubles was going to play out. We thought Northern Ireland would become like the rest of the world. But instead, you've become like Northern Ireland. But it's all happening in Ireland as well. There's an enormous amount of flags going up around Council Estates in Dublin. I was only home working back home. I'm a Dubliner. I'm from the north side, the working class side of the city. There was somebody at home with this massive tricolour, the Irish flag, outside their house. But they had hung it the wrong way round. Which, if I don't even notice, but the flag of the Irish Republic the other way round is the flag of the Ivory Coast. You know what I mean? Like, when you're a comedian, you're always like, I just couldn't help myself. I knocked on his door. I shouldn't have done. I'm a busybody and a comedian. And so I knocked on this dude's door just to see what would happen. The guy answers the door. And he was from the Ivory Coast.
As sure as night follows day, and as sure as crushing disappointment follows start of an Ashes series away from home in Australia, October sneaked in after September emotionally resigned as a month, with polling suggesting her party remained about as popular with the public as a shark at a vegan swimming gala. Kemi Badenoch delivered her first party conference speech since the Conservative members voted her their least unelectable candidate at 2024's thrilling leadership election. Kemi Badenoch at the Conservative conference said that the delegates at the conference could feel the what?
The invisible hand of the free market.
Feel the temptation to defect to reform.
I watched too much of that conference than is acceptable. Because he started off bad, didn't it? He had the energy of a speed awareness course.
Anyone going to have another stab at the correct answer? They could feel the what?
It will just be something about the pure sexual energy in the room.
Closer. It was the buzz.
They can feel
the buzz. Everyone is telling me about the buzz they can feel.
Is that something in someone's handbag that's gone off? That they shouldn't have at a Tory conference. Mind you, though, it'd break up the day, wouldn't it?
Kemi Badenoch also pledged that the Conservative Party would do what to help people afford what?
Is it tax the mega-rich to help people afford the basic things that they need?
Incorrect.
Is it pray for a miracle to help people afford a Tory government again?
They would remove stamp duty to help people afford houses.
I just sort of think, if scrapping stamp duty was such a good idea, why did they not do it when they were in power? And just think of all the things we could have saved. Loads of money, loads of lawyers' fees, Angela Rayner's career, like loads of things.
She did a little tease with the stamp duty thing.
She did.
As well in the speech, where she said she's looked at all the figures and was wondering if she'd be able to reduce stamp duty, and she went, and I've decided we can't. We're gonna abolish it! And everyone's like, wah! Everyone's jumping up. It's euphoric, because if ever there's a room full of people who are desperate to get on the property ladder...
Irreconcilable divisions were all the rage by this stage of the year. King Charles, the second longest reigning monarch we've had since the 1950s, of course, is no stranger to the rift. But in October, he took a few days off from family squabblages that go back decades in order to try to heal a schism that goes back half of a whole millennium. Charles and Leo the 14th, I mean, what do you think they should have been praying? What do you hope they were praying for in this historic meeting of churches?
I like to think that the Pope prays for pretty mundane things.
Right.
On the day-to-day, because if you were fully the Pope, like you'd worked up to becoming the Pope, and every night you prayed for world peace and it didn't happen, you would start to think, well, this doesn't seem to work at all. And given I am the Pope, you'd think it'd work, unless... Right. And so I reckon, to play it safe, he just goes with, I hope Liverpool break their losing streak, and then 5-1 in Frankfurt, the Lord's with us.
Probably also they're praying that Prince Andrew doesn't seek sanctuary in the Vatican. They wouldn't really be able to make up much of an excuse, right? Because the crime would fit in there, right?
I'm Jewish, so this is fine.
I'll do you one better. I'm Catholic, so it really is fine.
Charles has always been kind of progressive on this, because he always said that he wanted to be the defender of faiths, not the defender of the faith. And in a post-Brexit world, I kind of think this is our way back into Europe. If the king converts to Catholicism... I'm quite excited, frankly, because let's be honest, Anglicanism, it's had a good run, but... It never really kicked in as a religion for me, you know. It's a bit like Paul McCartney's Wings. It's fine. What's it about? Cucumber sandwiches, tombolas. When was the last time anybody caught a witch? Come on. Full Catholicism now.
That would be so exciting. I'm not saying I grew up really sheltered, but I met my first Catholic at 13, and that was the most racially diverse person I'd ever met. I grew up in Somerset in a very small house, and it was, if we all went Catholic now and we could do, like, spicy church, that would be so exciting.
Spicy church is actually what my people call it.
So there we are, another year done. I don't know how we'll reflect on it in future, or indeed, if we'll reflect on it in future. We probably won't have time, and reflection will be banned at some point in 2026 anyway for being bad for the soul, and even worse for the economy. Under 975 years left in this millennium now, which might be enough time to pull things round and sort things out, but it is starting to look like we are cutting it fine. Thank you to all our panellists and writers in 2025. On now to 2026, which a little bird tells me is going to be a year of unremitting peace, harmony and happiness. Or it might have been telling me how much it loves eating insects. I don't speak bird. To find out if I was right and it was right, join us next week with the first news quiz of 2026. Until then, Happy New Year. The News Quiz Best of 2025 compilation was written and hosted by me, Andy Zaltzman. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.